Ladies and gentlemen, we are live! This is the moment journalists around the world have been waiting for. Introducing first, in the red corner, he is a judge, weighing in the broken dreams of a Tron player, Nixia Valudel Terratron! And in the blue corner, a mixed magic artist, weighing in nothing but hot air and illusions of grandeur, Igor, Reanimator Mishra Harad! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again. This is your host Igor.
And Nick, sure.
And finally we have another guest on the show. Guest, who the hell are you?
I am Stefan. Hello everyone.
Yeah, do we know you from anywhere or just a random person on the internet?
I might be just a random person on the internet. Not true. I've been listening to you since show one.
And
I myself am a caster too.
Yeah, what's your cast?
My cast would be Tapeando Perros. This is a Spanish cast, so anyone who speaks Spanish is invited to listen to it.
Yeah, that's one of the casts I wanted to listen, but I wouldn't understand a single word. So I was like, I'll pass.
Yeah, don't worry. It's focused on the Latin American people because we're missing a lot of material, but we have a lot of players who would like to have something in their language. No,
yeah.
So the idea is to build a little bit of community, have fun, do stupid shit and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's nice. Basically, this poor man has been following us for much too long, and I decided why not to give him a call.
Oh, yeah, that sounds yeah.
So, you know what's the usual thing that we do at this time of the show, the Commander of the Week. Why don't you start, Stefan?
Oh, well, right now I'm still on the hype of the Sliver Overlord. I stopped playing my Enchantress deck because of synergy reasons. And so I've been playing a little bit with the Sliver deck. Yeah.
So you're basically a soulless man.
Yeah, I like to make everyone suffer because, you know, what's the point of playing if they don't suffer?
You sound like a real. You sound like a chap made to my measurements. But we'll talk about.
Well, I have.
Yeah.
I also have my casual Hydra deck, which is usually losing a lot, and I don't really care. But when I'm in a bad mood, I have to smash face.
Nixia, does that sound familiar to you?
Almost.
Yeah. You just
close
go
enough.
a bit more metally when you get angry, in a scarecrow fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get, you could say scary.
Oh, my God.
moving on, Igor, want to share your Commander of the Week with us?
Because your story is something that's going to take a bit more to share, isn't it?
Because my what now?
Your story is a bit longer to share.
Yeah.
My Commander of the Week will be again Alesha, but this time because I finally finished the primer on tappedout.net. And it's a long thing, and I put many hours of work into it because I was bored and I wanted to actually delve into my deck much deeper. People actually seem to have been responding pretty well. So I'll put the link later in the show notes, but yeah, people have accepted it real well, so I'm happy. So, Nixia, your thing.
Well, I haven't played a lot of Commander. This week, I played like one game, and it wasn't really a game. It was a one-sided massacre, so let's just not talk about it. But I did get a chance to play with my new version of red-green mid-range-ish Tron. So I have to give MVP credit to Thraktusk, because Thraktusk just pulls games out of nowhere. My first game was really intense. It was against Bai, so you could just imagine how intense it was to stare at the wall for 50 minutes. And the second game was against Grixis Delver, which I haven't played except in testing when we didn't have sideboards. And, you know, the first game went really well for me. It's like, it's a really good matchup for me. But then the sideboard part came. I actually had no idea what to do. So in the sideboard I had two Sudden Shocks, which in hindsight would be a really good idea to put in. because they can't protect their little guys from sudden shocks. And I got Fulminator'd. So what happened was the second game after sideboard, there was a Fulminator mage sack to kill a land. Next turn, a Fulminator mage sack to kill a land. And then the next turn, there wasn't a Fulminator mage. There was instead a call against command to discard a card from my hand and return Fulminator mage to his hand. So the following turn was pretty much another Fulminator mage, followed another Fulminator mage from the hand. So I was pretty much stuck at 3 to 4 lands, so I couldn't play my Thraktusk or my Hunt Master of the Fells because I was kind of lacking color. And when I managed to get to 5 mana, I was at 1 life, and the only source of green I had was a pain land, so it didn't work out. And the game after that was it wasn't so horrible with 50,000 Fulminator mages, but it was pretty much almost a dream opening from the Grixis, from beginning with 2 of those tiny insect delvers into a giant fish, into some Fulminator mages, into counter spells, and call again, two call against command to get rid of my hand. And I drew poorly on the removal part, so yeah, I kind of lost. But okay, then the next game I was against, I'm gonna guess it's 8-whack, something with bushwhackers and artifact creatures and signal pests. And that I did pretty well because I actually drew my removals and a Thraktusk, which I didn't have to pay a life to cast. Instead of I gave him life, which meant nothing. And yeah, so yeah, Thraktusk was really actually amazing, both against Grixis and against, you know, Goblin.
When you actually had the mana to cast it.
Yeah. And when I, yeah, pretty much so. But then I had to leave for my other businesses, so I dropped from the tournament and didn't see game 4.
Oh well. Mm. At least you learned how to actually properly sideboard against Grixis Delver, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm still not expecting to see that deck, really. I don't know why, it's just such...
But still, Sudden Shocks and things like that are actually good cards against many decks, so...
Or maybe I'll play Grixis Delver I borrow from somebody.
That's a thing, yeah.
You have this possibility always.
I mean, now you know how the deck actually is supposed to run and all that, so...
Yeah, I'm not afraid anymore.
Now, speaking of things we should be afraid, we have some spoilers, don't we?
Oh
yes. Yeah.
This was a good segue, by the way. Oh, I didn't notice. Yeah, so, Niksha, want to take this one? The first one, the big one?
So, on Monday, we got revealed the big bad of the set. The big daddy, that is Emrakul, the Promised End. So, Emrakul, the Promised End, is, surprise, surprise, it's Emrakul. Ooh.
Nobody saw that one coming.
Surprise. Nope.
We'll talk about that later. Emrakul is a 13 mana, no colorless needed, it's just 13 generic. A legendary creature Eldrazi, 13-13, with flying trample and protection from instants, and she costs one less to cast for each card type among cards in your graveyard. So it's like Delirium-ish.
It's a really, really fat Goyf, I guess.
A very expensive Goyf also. But
still,
the fun doesn't end here. When you cast Emrakul, the Promised End, you gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn. After that turn, that player takes an extra turn. So you mindslave them for their turn, and after that, they get their normal turn. So they, like, lose their mind for a turn, but once they regain their sanity, it's already too late.
Because the biggest guy just walked into Emrakul.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, you know, I saw some comments like, oh, but you just kill it with the sorcery speed removal. Yeah, do that if you top deck that removal, because you use that sorcery speed removal on their things.
Yeah.
That's the point of my enslaving people, because it's fun and so interactive.
Look, yeah. Look what you drew. Look at the card you drew, and you won't be able to play this turn. Isn't this fun?
An interesting fact, you can look at that player's sideboard while you're controlling their turn.
Yep.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
No?
Really?
They just released a rule, I think it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Leibach said that, or the day before. Mm-hmm. And they totally prohibited the checking the sideboard, and you can't even wish for something in the sideboard. So, yep, that's done.
Wait, I wasn't even paying attention to that sort of thing. So you can't... So if they have a wish in their hand, it's useless to you.
Exactly.
I mean, you can always cast it.
You can cast it, but it's useless. Oh, well, you can still cast it, yeah.
Yeah, you can still cast it and not get anything.
I would prefer not to get anything, but because if you cast it to get something, you're giving him answers.
No, you cast it. Look at the things. Oh, I guess I'll choose not to take any. And there you go.
Or you can get an answer for their card.
Yeah, that's also a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so that fun part of that is gone, so... okay.
I guess you play all their cards that you can, and that's it. So, how will this card actually affect the format that you play?
Well,
you mean modern?
Yeah.
I mean, it can kind of affect modern, because Nahiri decks are a thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, let's just take a step in the commander direction.
Yep.
So
okay, yes.
So obviously this is not going to be a banned Emrakul. I don't see it being banned ever. But what I do see it as a card in my Karador deck, because it's going to be so fun, like casting Emrakul from the graveyard, getting the trigger. If they want to kill it at some point, I just sacrifice it to greater good to get my get half of my deck in cards.
To get your 10 cards.
And then recast it again. Woohoo!
Niksha, I think you need to go to take a shower. That feels really dirty.
Not my fault. Not my fault.
Still. Yeah, this one doesn't get shuffled inside when it gets to the graveyard. Unlike the last time of
me. Yeah. Also, if you're wondering, you can reduce Emrakul's cost to 5. To 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because tribal is a card type.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that, people.
All this dust is a tribal card.
Yeah. One day, wizards are going to regret ever printing tribal.
They already have. They already have. That's why you won't see it ever again.
I also think that it will affect politically a lot, because you could take the turn of the other and tell him, so how much do you want an alliance with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be... Yeah.
I could wreck your board, but...
I took you hostage.
Basically, you literally took a hostage.
Yeah, literally, yes. So how much do you want for your next turn?
You know what would be fun? If the guy you're controlling has a Necropotence.
Oh.
Well, I think you want to draw all the cards, don't you?
Yeah, all 99 of them, please.
That's a really interesting negotiation tactic.
Wow. But yeah, this thing won't be banned, but will it be one off in each deck that you play, or...
Each deck?
Yeah, is it the auto-include in decks? That's what I'm asking.
Huh.
Well, the thing is, I wouldn't play Mindslaver in every deck.
Yeah. But this is a Mindslaver with 13-13.
But this is like an... like an 8 mana Mindslaver.
Yeah.
So it's like a Worst Fears with a giant 13-13 body that punch stuff.
And you don't have to get the extra turn trigger. If you can just reanimate it through some means and give it haste, it's still okay. Yeah. It's not. So
the body is decent.
Mm hmm. Yes, 13-13 is just decent. That's just decent.
And then you go with the trample and flying and, evasion until the end of time.
You know what will be fun? You know what will be fun? When somebody quickens sorcery speed removal.
But if they do that, if they play quicken just because of Emrakul, they deserve.
I mean, and quicken is a fun spell. Turn. Quicken is a fun spell.
Sometimes. About modern?
Sometimes.
Wait, Igor, Did you want to say something about Emrakul with Commander?
I think this is it, basically. It's not a card that you're going to play in every deck, is my point.
Are you going to play it in Alesha?
No. I'm not going to... I might play it in Cedric's the Traitor King, because he likes to reanimate stuff. And this is a fun thing to reanimate, but Alesha doesn't want it. It has no need for that. I mean, the biggest guy in Alesha is a 6-6, so...
Fair enough.
And that's a Sun Titan.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm really looking forward to actually playing a couple of these in...
Tron.
In Tron, yes.
How many?
Two, at least. Sounds, I think I'm thinking two.
Sounds because like a good number.
It could be a real good... instead of, you know, playing Karns, which I do not own, yeah. So Emrakul could be a good replacement, I think. And in Tron, I can get an instant sorcery creature.
Land.
And artifact. And land. Yeah, because Ghost Quarter.
And Fulminate the Mages.
That's -5. That's pretty decent.
Yeah, 8 mana. That's okay. Yeah. I would pay 8 mana for 13.
What do you think, Stefan?
Right now, the discussion I've seen is about Ulamog or him, and I'm still thinking that Ulamog has a little bit of an upside, but
yeah,
I could see easily a Tron build with the two Emrakuls,
yeah,
and one Ulamog or two Ulamogs, and it would be as bad as anything. I mean, if they get to cast that 13-13, you're done anyway.
Yeah.
As well as the double Vindicate, so I could see some play and so and the creation of some variations on decks on Tron decks in general that you have not always the same build.
I mean, Tron is a toolbox deck basically, so.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
You Igor obviously have no comments on Modern, right?
On Modern, I mean, I have some general idea about Modern. Know more about Vintage than Modern, to be honest. So.
Hmm.
I don't think this is going to see play in Vintage, but I could be mistaken. Stranger things have been played in Vintage, like Inferno Titans.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our next spoiler, something that I really hold near and dear. They have spoiled the new Talia, the Qatar Heretic, for 2 mm-hmm. and white, so one more than previous Talia. She's a legendary creature, human soldier. She's a 3-2, so she got a bigger booty and bigger muscles. She still has first strike, but creatures and non-basic lands your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't pay one mana for non-creature spells anymore, you just get everything taxed.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about this?
I can't say I'm really excited for this card, because it seems mean, but it's like nothing compared to the older Thalia.
I mean, the deck that wants the older Talia wants the new one as well, I think. When you're playing the Hate Bears.
Yes, definitely.
It's just that this Talia doesn't hate enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a tempo play, technically.
Yeah, well, the old Talia hates for on the longer tracks. This one is just, okay, I hate you now for a quick jab, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, like, the older Talia destroy your whole turn. Like, I'm starting to hear somebody.
Yeah.
So, Stefan, you have something to say about Thalia?
Thalia? Yeah, well, I don't see many implications for this dear format of the EDH thing. I mean, the game can be slow if you play very casually, so why need Talia? I see more use of it in something like Modern, but meh. I like her definitely, but she's for me like a tempo play, like as I said a moment before, and I think, I would never put it in one of my 99 unless I have something very specific built for her.
Yeah, I wouldn't put this in Alesha just because of her body. If she was a 2-3, that would be much nicer than a 3-2. But as Nixia said, this isn't enough hated.
Yes.
Now, the old Talia, she can make the decks that are going for the, you know, big game slow them up just enough.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing against my girlfriend the other day, against Kerprosh, and almost every other turn she was missing just that one mana. So it did its part. Also, Niksha, thank you for that wonderful Judge promo, Talia.
It's not the Judge promo.
Wizards Planet Network. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anywho, Stefan, now you pick a spoiler to talk from.
Well, let's go for the Wish. Let me just find it. I come from a time where wishes were common. I don't know, living wish and stuff like that. Sound like an old man now.
You wish for a wish and all that.
Exactly. So, what was the name of the card again?
Coax from the Blind Eternity.
Yeah, thank you very much. I don't have it on my cell phone yet. And I have to prepare it for my show anyway tomorrow. So, yes, but what it basically is, it's for 2 and a blue. You can get any Eldrazi card from out of the game. And that's it?
Yeah, from outside the game or in exile.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's sorcery.
Yeah, and that thing or the Eldrazi in exile can be a really huge thing.
Yes.
Oh, you Sword of Plowshares, my huge Eldrazi. Well, guess I got it back.
Welcome back. I'm here to eat your face.
I mean, you still have to cast it, but you know. You don't mind casting your Eldrazi.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Man, you can get many other things because there is... What was it? All Dust? All is Dust.
All is Dust is an Eldrazi card.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you're pretty much well prepared to get anything to just destroy the other person.
And everybody else that's playing the game.
Yep.
Yeah, but what kind of deck wants this card in EDH?
None.
I mean, if you're playing big blue high tide kind of deck, you might want this just as a finisher. Well, if you're not comboing out.
Well, depends. If you're playing like casually, then outside of the game is your binder and your whole collection. Exactly. So that's that's okay. But if you're playing like in a tournament and it's your sideboard only, and there is no sideboard,
then in one you have a 10 card sideboard. You should have.
Mm.
In French.
Well, good thing I don't play French then. I hate sideboards.
Yeah, me too. I don't know how to sideboard. I'm a dumb man.
I'm horrible at this. That's why I lost my last modern tournament.
Yeah, but I think that for our formats, the Eldrazi card in exile is the most important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives another option.
Yeah.
You're never safe from Eldrazi anymore. Ever.
Unless you can get it from Absolute Remove from the game, freaking Exile Zone.
Yeah, so only AWOL can save you.
Yep.
And AWOL isn't legal. Hooray!
Again, house ruling is a thing.
Yeah, well, the thing is, with this card, I have to carry another binder to have all my Eldrazi in there, so I can have the response, the correct response at any moment. and then tell everyone, no, I'm not trading from this binder.
This is my tournament binder.
My tournament binder, yes. You thought a sideboard was too much.
So, what shall we talk about next? Maybe Ulrich of the Crawling Horde?
Yeah, sure.
AKA the Huge Disappointment?
Yeah.
Basically, we finally got to the legendary werewolf, as in, this is the legendary creature that's also a werewolf.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's funny because, who wants to read the card?
Niksha, I think it's your turn, so...
So, Ulrich...
Ulrich
of the Kralen Horde is a 3 green and a red legendary creature, human werewolf. That's a 4/4. Whenever this creature enters the battlefield or transforms into Ulrich of the Kralen Horde, target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. And the same all usual werewolf transform. As in, nobody casts anything, he transforms on somebody's upkeep, and he becomes
Ulrich,
Uncontested Alpha. And then he's a 6/6 legendary creature werewolf. And when it transforms into Ulrich, Uncontested Alpha, you may have it fight target non-werewolf creature you don't control. So, and he transforms back when somebody casts spells, yada yada.
You know what would make this card much better? If there wasn't the whole +4/+4 thing, but you had the Immerwolf clause on it, you know, that your other wolves and werewolves can transform back.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
it has a wolf on the art, and he doesn't summon a wolf.
Well, that's why you play the Huntmaster.
Not use Hunt? Well, I mean, there should be like a house ruling that Huntmaster can be your legendary because it's so much better than this.
You know what's the best werewolf commander, actually? Rurik Tar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, there is something big missing in this, let's put quotes, werewolf lord, and this is something that works with werewolves. It doesn't have anything. It's like something that gives them, I don't know, first strike, or...
Plus one, at least.
Yeah, the typical. But instead of that, you will be miserable in any mirror match with that, because I cannot hit any werewolf. Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, you won't have mirror matches with this in EDH.
Well, in EDH is no problem, no?
Nobody's going to play that.
I don't even want to play it as a commander. Maybe in my 99, definitely. But as commander? No, it's a disappointment.
Yeah,
it's a real big disappointment.
It's not, no wonder he's uncontested. He doesn't fight werewolves. All right. Yeah, easy for him to say, oh yeah, I'm uncontested. I'm the best werewolf around. What, you want me to fight with
Huntmaster
Levels? Hell no.
Hell no.
But I'm going to tell you this. Last week I killed like 3 sheep. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. Who the badass now?
It's like sitting in a desert and nobody is even telling him that he should step down of the throne. Why? I mean, why, wizards? We were waiting for that for, 6 years now?
Something like that.
It's like, there's not even a synergy going on here. It's like, he fights. Mm, cool.
He's good for the fight deck, but he's not, you know, for werewolves.
No.
He's technically a legendary werewolf. That's what I'm going to say about him.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
If you need a legendary werewolf commander so hard, well, I guess this is your guy, kinda. Or Rurik Tar.
Yeah, I mean... To make him viable, you should include then the Obelisk of Earth.
Yep.
And like, okay, what else?
Coat of Arms.
Coat of Arms? There is one werewolf that gives something to all werewolves, but I don't remember his name.
Mayor of Everbrook.
Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. But from there on, no, it was sad.
And Immerwolf, I guess. You guys can't actually transform.
Then you never get to get that sweet +4/+4 on your empty board.
Oh, sorry, I see a certain two-headed giant as my commander, not this guy. I always forget that. Because, come on, Richter was born to be, obviously, commander for werewolves. You play the spells, 12 to your face.
Well, just cross out the creature type and put werewolf in there, so you have your werewolf commander.
We need to play some junt commanders so we can play Conspiracy. So everything is a werewolf now.
So, unless somebody is speaking and just...
Yes.
Yeah, we should just move on, I guess.
Yeah. So, Igor, do you want to talk about an actual spoiler or half a spoiler?
We still have 2 cards.
2?
One and a half, yeah. I'm going to take half a card.
Okay.
All right.
I'm now making you disappointed, but this is really exciting. So we have Hanver, the Writing Township, and we have a really angry and withery town that's attacking us. So it's a legendary creature, it's a legendary use. It has trample and haste, it's a 7/4.
Drazi.
Oh yeah, Drazi use. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever this thing attacks, put 2/3/2 colorless Drazi horror creatures tokens onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking. But...
And it's 7/4.
It's a 7/4, and we don't know what it's transforming from. And we're guessing a land.
Well, you actually can say it's from a land, because if you look at the collector's number, you can clearly see that it belongs into the green slot. Because the set is not going to have 75 lands.
That you say.
Well, it's really highly improbable that... Oh. Oh, here, look at Ulrich. Ulrich is between Hanvir and Lands. So, there you go.
Huh. Damn you and your facts. How dare you.
But, you know what? First, with the tokens, it gets 13 power.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Secondly...
Spooky!
Secondly, the tokens actually don't disappear.
Yeah.
They stay there forever. And mm-hmm. another thing, we might get an actually good card with another, I'm going to say, a requested creature type.
And
a
that's...
legendary wall.
Oh, God.
Oh, fantastic.
Dual decks, walls versus oozes.
And that looks like a miserable experience.
I mean, I would play
actually,
that.
You could actually make a dual deck, Hanvir versus...
Gavany.
Yeah. They're like two towns that for some reason have feet and are alive. And they're coming to get you.
Also, that's the dual deck I would most likely buy because, you know... Would the dual deck be called Tale of the Two Cities?
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. I know.
I like the idea.
But we can't actually say a lot about this card because we're missing half of it.
We actually can say something, and that's that the transform symbol in the top left corner
is a mushroom.
Where instead of a moon, is actually, yeah, it looks like a mushroom, but it's an Emrakul mushroom.
Yeah, the best
mushroom. With tentacles. So it's obviously some kind of new triggering for new cycle of transform triggers. Like, it's obviously going to be a nice, peaceful township that started building walls to isolate itself from everything else because the world actually became really, really messed up.
And that's speaking for Innistrad standards. They're usually messed up.
It was really messed up, and then it became alive, and it's a horror. So...
Yeah, turns out when you lock yourselves inside the walls, diseases and parasites can move really easily.
Yeah.
Have you watched the picture, by the way?
Yeah.
It is gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very gruesome.
Yes.
Like, what you feel is actually happening.
Yeah. I think there's somewhere a baby, someone said, but I couldn't see it yet.
Wow, I don't want to see it, actually.
You have to get the real card to just study it closer.
And that's how people go insane, actually.
All these organic
parts are like mishmashed, probably bodies of people.
Yeah, and Eldrazi goo.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you said it good, Stefan. This looks like a chaos abomination.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, what the hell?
What the hell, yes.
You know what you do when you see that planet has gone this far? You just nuke it from orbit, and that's it. Just
Exterminatus, please.
Yes, Exterminatus, the whole planet. It's not even worth trying to save. Oh, look, entire city got up to try to kill us. Planetary bombing.
It's like, the other Titan, other Eldrazi Titans, they had spawn. They just made some spawn and attacked the inhabitants of a plane. Emrakul doesn't make spawn. It turns the plane on itself.
Literally, it seems.
Yeah, totally.
So Emrakul just being there halved the amount of forces that could fight it. And instead they fight against the other half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chick fight! I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
So, we have one last card from proper spoilers. Stefan, would you read that one?
Yes, we have Identity Supplanter.
Yep.
Beautiful. So, for 2 and a blue and a blue, we have a 0-3. So, whenever Identity Supplanter attacks, you may exile target non-token creature. And if you do, Identity Supplanter becomes a copy of that creature until end of turn. And return the exiled card onto the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So technically, it steals your creature for a moment and then gives it back to you.
Which is sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, you had that huge blocker. Oh, no. No, no, you didn't.
And your huge blocker is hitting you.
By the way, look at the art and the guy is facing the left.
On the left.
Where is his face?
You can see it.
I mean, I know where his face is.
But you don't see much.
You see him, the other guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
me neither.
The guy on the left isn't, like, panicking. He's just like, come on, bro, dick move. You can see that this isn't a panicky position. It's just like, come on. Thought we had an agreement.
He just borrowed his face.
Basically, yeah.
He's going to return it mostly undamaged.
Mostly. You didn't need those eyes, did you?
So, you can also exile your own things.
Yep. To get the effects.
You can even exile their things and then process it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Good thing your thing is exiled. Oh, no, it's in graveyard. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, wait, there was a rest in peace. Oh, I'm really sorry. How did that happen? But that's a scenario that might happen.
Yeah, it might.
So this card in EDH, it can do a lot of wonky things, can't it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it gives pseudo haste to your creature too.
Yeah.
But for any other format, it's a 4-mana 0/3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
4-mana do nothing until your next turn. And then maybe. It's not an exciting card, but in EDH it'll be as good as your opponent's cards are. As it is with most clones.
I just remembered something.
Aye?
The tokens from Hanvir
are
Eldrazi horror creatures.
Oh my
god. So, hooray for Thing in the Ice.
Yay, synergy. And then whatever Hanvir actually is, you'll get it back to your hand and do the whole thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of it for the confirmed spoilers.
Yeah. Now there's something unofficial.
Do tell.
Mm-hmm.
So, Liliana, the last hope. And again, this is extremely unofficial. For 2 and a black-black, it's a Planeswalker Liliana with 4 starting loyalty. Plus 1, each player discards a card. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. No.
If you discard a swamp card this way, you put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. Oh well, we get some utility, more blockers. Minus 3.
Access lands.
Yeah. Minus 3, target creature's controller sacrifices it. Again, really like the Liliana of the Chain of the Veil, but not the same thing. And minus 8, exile all graveyards, then put 52 black zombie creatures tokens onto the battlefield.
Yeah, 50, so that's 100 power.
Yep, that's a lot of dudes.
I mean, the card looks legit.
Looks legit, yeah.
The effects are eerily similar to the last the Liliana of the Veil.
But just different enough.
Just that pinch different enough.
Yeah.
And what else? She has more mana and more starting loyalty.
Yeah, but more mana is going to hurt her in eternal and non-rotating formats. And in EDH, I guess...
Yeah, it's just discarding a card from everyone, and you might get a zombie if you don't discard something better, like madness cards or something.
Or big dudes that you can reanimate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the minus 3 is just a targetable edict.
Yeah, which isn't that bad. It's really rare in Magic.
Yeah. To my knowledge, only Ashling the Extinguisher.
I think so, yeah.
And it doesn't go through Hexproof or Shroud.
That's why you have Arcane Lighthouse in every deck.
True.
Mm.
And minus 8, well, it's an ultimate.
Yeah, but it's like 50, yeah. I mean, I guess it's 50 zombies to emulate the trailer.
Yeah.
That final moment when Liliana, for some reason, decides that, hey, let's just throw zombies at Emrakul.
Because I mean, it's more likely that the trailer is imitating this card. Because I doubt they made the trailer and said to the guys, okay, you have to make something like this.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they're trying to emulate the story side of it, where Liliana will throw hundreds of zombies at this god.
And by the way, in that trailer, the zombies are moving really fast for Undead.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
She unlocked the power of the Chain Veil?
Because she had to, because Emrakul was here.
Hmm.
Also, she is the last hope.
Yep, because the Avengers have failed. I mean,
You mean the Overwatch?
Yes.
No, the Gatewatch.
The Gatewatch.
The Guardians of the Gatewatch and all that.
Mm. Yeah, the Avengers magic style.
Yeah, the Avengers have failed, and now the bad guy is the only person who can save us from the extremely amoral guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because Emrakul isn't evil.
No, he isn't.
It's just om nom nom nom.
I just love the art for that card. If the card exists, I want... Yeah.
Yeah, imagine the foil.
Yeah, it must look so beautiful.
Yeah, with the moon behind and everything.
Yeah.
And the eyes of the zombies. If it's a real card.
If it's a real card.
But I don't see anything actually to dissuade me that it isn't.
Well, I can't really make out any
obvious
transparent text. Part of the text. The text doesn't seem transparent. You can't see a single piece of art.
That's a point. That's the thing I haven't considered, actually.
Plus, the art is the art from the announcement page, and the last art from the announcement page wasn't featured. It was the box art. So this looks like, if you look at the original picture, it's very box-like art. It's definitely a box art. So that's the reason I'm really suspicious about this.
I mean, I honestly want it to be fake so they can actually make something original with Liliana.
Yeah.
But keep this name, because this name is awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
No, Liliana is the last hope, and if they do her well in the story, she'll save the Gatewatch, and she'll maybe join them, but they'll be in her debt, and she'll make them remember that. they're going to do a favor for her. Big one.
You know what would be the funniest thing ever? This is Liliana, the last hope, and she looks at Demrock and says, I'm out of here. And that's it.
That would
be. Well, F it, I'm going.
I'm not well equipped to fight this thing. See ya.
Well, realistically speaking, she is.
I mean, I would do that. Just like, Nah.
He's like, here, I'll help you. Here's like 100 or so zombies. Like, here, attack.
You mean the meat shield between you and him, so he can planeswalk?
Yeah.
You go fight Cthulhu.
If you want to fight Cthulhu, you need to use nukes, basically, for that.
Well, even if you use nukes, you can't kill Cthulhu.
You can try well enough, because it's going to kill you anyway, so might as well give it a try.
Drive you insane trying.
You just need to press 2 buttons and that's it.
I'm still wondering how this would affect the story, because I can see like 1,000 zombies killing this elder god, so...
I mean, if 15 flying squirrels can do that, you know, the old Emrakul.
Well, I think what they will do is they will just send the zombies...
So what makes you...
You know, if they kill Emrakul, that's going to be like, I'll be over it. I'm not talking about I'll be over the fact that they killed Emrakul. I think I'll be actually over the story. I think I'll like stop caring for the story, because they killed 2 titans during the, like, they had to have so many things aligned perfectly. First of all, they had to have the Gatewatch not die.
Yeah.
By miraculously Chandra appearing in the last second. And now the Gatewatch is, in mortal peril again. And guess they'll need the Ex Machina to save them again. But this time, they actually don't have any means of bringing the Emrakul to Innistrad. Because last time, in Battle for Zendikar, they actually brought the Titans.
Yeah.
Not their avatars, their essence from the Blind Eternity. And Emrakul is, again, just an avatar. If it feels endangered, which I don't think that throwing 1,000,000 zombies at it would do anything, because it kind of flies, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if it feels at all threatened, it'll just leave.
Yeah, because why not?
They have nothing to bind it, except, Nahiri changed her mind. She's going to protect Innistrad because she saw the fault in her ways.
You mean the plot armor?
And Sorin totally did not kill her on the spot, which would be the only sensible thing to do.
Nah, he's a generous guy.
No, he's not.
Well, they could put this god into the Emrakul into the Hell Vault. Oh, wait, it's broken.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Broken. But they can trap it in the moon.
Ooh.
Yeah. But
I think Damio will be happy.
Werewolves will be happy.
Well, then they'll have, like, 2 options. Then they'll have, like, 2 scenarios. They either let the Titan eat the plane, or they lock the Titan in the moon and let its madness spread on Innistrad forever.
I think that's a worthy sacrifice.
Well, definitely. I mean, in the last story, nobody died. Nobody of any importance died. And I think that's just wrong. I mean, it shows they haven't lost anything.
I mean, judging by the Game Watch, who would actually be up for it to lock the Emerald Cooling Moon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no one.
Jace would. They
would be for locking it up, but none of them can actually do it.
No, I mean, just who would be up for the idea?
No, everyone.
No, Gideon would be like, no, we have to find
Gideon
another way.
Oh, yeah, Gideon would be against it?
Nyssa.
Yeah, retconned Nyssa would be against it.
Chandra, I think, because this is... people are falling under the tyranny of the Emrakul. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Jace most likely would be up for it because it's the only logical solution that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And because Ugin would probably kill him if he killed another Titan.
God damn it, man, stop killing my Titans.
Something fishy going on with Ugin.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for him to turn out to be the real bad guy.
Like, he and Bolas were in cahoots all along.
Pum, pum, pum. Actually, no, Bolas is actually the good guy who's trying to stop Ugin.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be a plot twist.
Huh?
But it's probably not.
It's probably. And it's always Bolas.
I mean, I just feel that this is the perfect set to show how big a threat... Emrakul is, and how it's not the biggest threat there is. If they destroy the people's favorite plane, judging by the polls, it's really going to send a message. Like, the Gatewatch need to get better.
Yeah, they need to actually lose something.
They need to be less cocky after killing two Titans. Because they killed two Titans like they were nothing. Yeah, they're almost going to die, but almost is not good as, it's not the same as actual dying.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, people will say that, but on Zendikar, like, a lot of innocent people died. Yeah, but they didn't really portray those people. The best portrayal of the people on Zendikar was on one card. I forgot the name. And the flavor text is, I can't remember the flavor text on, like, to quote it, but it goes something like, I'm going to, that guy that said that he's going to, he's marching to Seagate to fight the Eldrazi because he has a family waiting for him.
I can't remember.
It's a guy, I'm going to, like, you started talking about something else. I'm going to search for this guy.
So
no, it was actually it's actually a touching flavor text. It's from Battle for Zendikar.
Yeah, but I think that the Gatewatch should finally lose something really important, something really big.
Yeah, maybe Chandra is going to Kaladesh to think about her life choices, and
that would be actually fun. She would actually get some depth and flavor. Not just, I'm burning stuff.
I'm crazy. Yeah. I'm a crazy woman.
I mean, she's a redhead, so, you know.
Yeah, to give him some feelings, at least. Not like the soulless redhead she has been.
I found it. Reckless Cohort.
What does it do?
You have a family. Mine died at Seagate. You go to yours, and I'll go to mine.
Wow,
that's a nice one.
That's a wow.
So that, for that guy, I feel sorry.
Yeah.
For everyone else, I don't know them. I don't know anything about any of them.
I mean, there is always Steve from Uncounting.
And, there's also, and I guess, Chad from it as well?
Yeah.
Especially Chad.
I mean, screw Chad, he was a dick.
But the whole plane was almost a wasteland, and then Nyssa pulled out those Seed Ex Machina she was given a few episodes back.
Few, like, and 20.
Yeah.
I don't remember. This is just... She was supposed to plant it on another plane to... So a part of Zendikar is still alive.
Yeah.
She planted it there and... boom, the whole plane is blooming again.
Yeah.
and nothing.
Weren't they supposed to destroy everything and leave nothing behind?
Yeah, I mean,
as far as I understood,
the parts that the Eldrazi touched are supposed to be completely,
dry
and no life at all,
no mana at all.
Yeah. Hmm. Also, they used the whole reserve of Zendikar mana to kill them.
Hmm.
But there is still just enough mana left.
I mean, that's for a rainy day.
Yeah. This obviously wasn't rainy enough.
I mean, just a couple of Lizard Titans wrecking your plane, that's nothing.
Yeah, only three. If it would have been four, then we would have a problem, no?
Now, if the taxmen arrive, that's when you pull all the reserves. But Alvazi, they're nothing.
So, if the story is going to go in that direction, that'll be actually a huge disappointment.
I hope not. I hope it destroys the entire plane or makes everything insane.
Hmm.
Or just does so much damage, but they manage to, like, threaten it, so it runs away.
Yeah.
But then again, they would have to return to that again.
Yeah.
They need something. They need to do something, but not kill Emrakul, because that's stupid.
Yeah, they still need a plot carrier, so to say.
Yeah.
Oh, they have Bolas and
Phyrexians, but I don't think they want to touch Phyrexia anymore.
Yeah. It's always Bolas.
There's even a part, there's even a story when Elspeth and somebody else visited Krufix, and then Krufix, the god from Theros, read their minds. I really vaguely remember this, but it was something along the line that, like, Krufix saw Phyrexia, the Eldrazi Titans, and Bolas, and said that Phyrexia and the Titans, both of them would single-handedly completely annihilate the plane and all its gods. But those two, Phyrexia and the Eldrazi Titans, are nothing compared to Bolas.
Yeah, because he has a really scheming mind. He would most likely enslave the gods. And that's much scarier to them than just being destroyed.
Yes.
Well, I think we had a good flavor session right here. And we just might end the episode right here because we have a long day tomorrow.
Okay.
So, Stefan, would you like to give your contact info and all that?
Sure. Go. Again, I will plug my show. I know most probably nobody speaks Spanish, but you should try, no? You can find me anytime at Tapeando Perros Podcast. We have a Facebook page under the same name. Or you can find me directly, which is much easier, and I'm very active in Twitter.
Yep.
At VikingMTG, so Viking. Yeah. And I mean, I respond to anything as long as it makes some sense.
Sometimes he even talks to me, and that tells you how active he is. Poor man.
It was with you, Igor, right? I sent you on accident the image of the cards I found.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, this is cool.
This is cool, yeah. I was like, no, he's not a person.
Oh.
Well, but it made a good discussion.
So, Nixha, anything you want to say?
I'll be at the coast next week, and then I'll come back at Friday and witness whole week of spoilers.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to getting more information about the story, where it's heading, what kind of evil Eldrazis are lurking around.
Yeah, so heads up, next week I think we will be in Nixhalas, so we'll see what we will do. Maybe we'll skip a show, maybe we'll get somebody, so...
Mm-hmm.
But that remains to be seen.
Well, and I want to thank you very much for inviting me over to
no
the show.
No problem, you basically have an open invitation. Whenever you want to come and chat, just, you know, say... I would like to do it next week.
Well, you also, both of you, have an invitation to my show, but I don't know, how's your Spanish?
I mean, you guys talk in Spanish, we talk in Croatian, and that's basically it.
Oh, we can cover two audiences at the same time, then.
And nobody will understand it.
that will be fun.
Anyway, you
I
can
remember...
find... Yep. You what?
I remember that first episode you did, and you didn't turn off the recorder. Oh, that was so much fun. That's why I started loving the show, because I heard you speaking in Croatian. And I was like, that's so fascinating to hear that. And
you should hear a swear. That's what makes this language go, actually.
Oh, no, it's a Spanish too, believe me, especially Mexican Spanish. We can be really creative.
I know, we have Mexican chefs in our hotel that work with us, so...
A friend of mine would usually say that our martial art is called albur, which is just responding to the other with double sense. And you can do long fights with this.
No, basically, you can speak Croatian in swears. When somebody says that they have a sexual intercourse with your mother, it's either A, an insult, or B, you did something really good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, you know, context.
Yeah.
It's a really strange language.
Very interesting.
You have no idea. So anyway, you can find all the contact info in the show notes. And this has been episode 11 of the Elder Dragon Duel podcast. And as always, the Emperor protects.
For us. And Taro Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra? All right.
Okay,
that's the show.
It's because our tennis is backwards for Sinatra.
Oh, it is?
Oh,
wow. I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Wow. That's the first time I realized it.
Mind blown.
Ooh.
Anywho, guys.
The roads are the dustiest, the winds are the gustiest, the gates are the rustiest, the pies are the crustiest. The song's the lustiest, the friend's the trustiest way back home.
Back home.
The trees are the sappiest, the days are the nappiest, the dogs are the yappiest, the kids are the scrappiest.